For those of you who were here last Sunday, what did we talk about? What about worship? What about worship? Okay. Weapon of warfare. Doing it even if you don't want to. Pushing yourself. We're meant to worship together and alone, but we're meant to worship together. That's right. Good. Give everything you've got. If you haven't taken some risks in a while, why not? Why not take a risk? Because your goal is not to draw attention to yourself. Your goal is just to get your mind and your heart more engaged to what God wants to do and to get into His presence. And so, yeah, we talked. It was a great time to talk about. Very emotional, but great. Very great Sunday. So today I'm going to ask a different question. Why sing new songs to the Lord? New songs. Everybody that's over 50, you're going to go, oh, we have to talk about this today? Because we don't like new things. But we're going to find out that the Lord loves new things. Why do you think the Bible so often says, sing a new song to the Lord? I want you to think about that question. You know, this is a very controversial subject. Worship wars. Anybody been in a church that had the worship wars? Dave, you've probably experienced a few of those. Where we get the old people who like the organ and the piano and the choir, the hymn books. Sure, we'll sing an occasional chorus now and then, but this is serious. These are the good songs. These are the songs that speak to me. These are the songs that are important. While the younger generation's coming in with the bands, the drums, the electric guitars, the chord sheets, the projection, take away the books, take away the choir. You guys are the choir, and the louder we get, the better. Sometimes is how they feel, right? And there's just wars going. I know of a church right now. A church that's kind of close and dear to my heart that is still in 2000, whatever this year is. What is it? Six. Is it 16? Yeah, all right, good. In 2016, they are still going through this. And it's just tearing this church apart. Many churches have split over this. People have left churches over worship wars. I like this drawing that someone gave me. It's not real clear, but it's of a grandma. It says, after 50 years as the church organist, Gladys made a genuine effort to adjust to the new worship format. I love that. I love that. That's great. Good for Gladys. How many of you heard of Martin Luther? We're talking from the Middle Ages, from the 1500s. We're talking Martin Luther, the famous reformer in Germany, started the Lutheran churches, and a great man, really a great man. Well, you know, he translated the Latin Bible into German, the everyday language of his people. That was unheard of back then, that the Bible was only meant for the educated and the smart and the, you know, the upper crust or whatever. They're only ones that could understand the Bible. Luther said, forget this. This is crazy. And he wrote the Bible all by himself, translated it into German so that the everyday person could read the scriptures for some for the very first time. Can you imagine being part of that, reading scripture for the first time? Well, he also brought a bunch of new songs into the church, because he was tired of just hearing Gregorian chants. How many of you'd like to hear a Gregorian chant every Sunday? I don't mind one song of that's what they would do in churches, and it's beautiful. I wouldn't want every single song I sing to be like that, though. That'd get kind of old, especially when it's in Latin, and I don't even understand what I'm singing. Aminis tu rex, you don't know. You know what it is. Luther said, let's change that too. And just, I don't think he meant to be so thrashing and crashing, but boy, he and his team just did such a great job of bringing in, and it's a debate whether he stole barroom melodies. There's a debate. But he would, some people think he stole, like he wrote A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Luther wrote that. And some people think that it was like a bar song. With that big stein, German stein of beer. Some say, no, that's not true. That was not a bar song. But if he didn't steal bar songs, he took the melody ideas. He took the feeling of those melodies that the people knew, that the people sang, brought them into the church, singing great songs that they understood at the time. Now, for us, they feel kind of old, but they're brilliant, brilliant songs. Again, Luther was trying to bring that into the church so that the people could relate, the people could connect themselves into worship. Love it. Here's a history question for you. When did pianos first get started in church? Some of you might think, when did they not? Always, right? I mean, pianos have been around forever, right, in the American church. Do you know that it wasn't until World War I, into the early 1900s, that pianos first came into churches? It's not that long ago. And now the piano almost seems like an ancient instrument. But it was such a radical thing that happened. You wouldn't believe that. You think worship wars today. Think of worship wars back then, when all they've ever had is what? Organs, exactly. And they would play these beautiful, sometimes, you know, amazing pieces, classical sometimes. They're gorgeous and great songs. But again, as the 1900s came along, people started to sing and write a little bit more syncopated songs. Jazz started to come in and different things. And instead of just singing the old songs, they started to sing, "There's within my heart a melody." And it kind of got a little jumpier, a little bit more syncopated. Organs had a hard time with that. They started bringing in pianos that could play a little sharper, a little lighter. Or I don't know what the term is, but they could play "Blessed Assurance," "Jesus da 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 da." You know, the pianos could do that. But the older churchgoers, oh my! You know where pianos were played at? Saloons and bars and honky tonks. And we don't want none of that honky tonk music coming into the church. That's the devil worship. That's devil music. They couldn't stand that pianos were being brought in. That was just 100 years ago. And if some of you like organ music, by the way, that's fine. If you like organ music, have fun listening to it at home all you want. You're not going to hear it here unless it's a B3, Hammond B3 sound. Some of our more soulful songs, you might once in a while hear that Hammond B3 sound. That's fun. Okay, good. Why sing new songs to the Lord? That's the question. Why sing new songs to the Lord? We're all convinced that the music of our generation is by far the best, right? Ours is the best. I'll never, ever, ever forget how odd it was and how old I felt just a couple of years ago right here. Two of our guys that still come to our church, young guys, they were high schoolers at the time. And they were just yelling out emphatically that they hated the Beatles. Uh-oh. Oh, my jaw just dropped. And I looked at them like there was hate in my heart. I felt like I got slapped hard in the face. You what? They just didn't like it. It didn't connect to them. It didn't relate to them. And I say, don't you know that every single musical group has been influenced by the Beatles? Come on, you know. And all of a sudden, I started my back started to go like this, and and I just felt like I went and go found. I went and found a soft chair somewhere and drank some Geritol. I felt so old. They don't like the Beatles. They don't appreciate. Oh, but you know, then I started thinking, Kemp, that you're one of them. You get back here. You were one of them. But I guess when I was 18, I probably said the same thing. Elvis, you know, come on, overrated. You know, Frank Sinatra can't really sing. You know, I mean, I probably did that same thing when I was young too, because you know, you think you know everything, you don't know anything, but. But that negative comment about the Beatles just stuck in my craw. It just stuck there, and I realized, wow, the times are a-changing again. You know, the times keep changing. And I'm getting older. and it's an interesting thing that's going on in, you know, as I'm thinking of ministry as I'm 55, going, where are we taking Two Rivers, and what's happening? And music is a part. I'm just asking these questions because the times are changing. Why sing new songs to the Lord? I thought of six reasons is what I came up with finally. Number one, ready? I say this every time. It's always the first point. The Bible commands it. Why do we do it? Because the Bible tells us to. And that should almost be enough. We could just say amen and go home. I just gave a few examples up here. Psalm 96:1. Let's say them together. Would you mind if you're, can you see the screen? They're a little bit small. I want to get them all up there. Ready? 96:1. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. 98:1.
Sing a new song to the Lord.
144:9. I will sing a new song to you, O God. I will sing your praises with a 10-stringed harp. We have a 5-string bass that's kind of funky. I've heard of 16-string guitars, but man, nice. 10-stringed harp, that's cool. Isaiah 42:10, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing his praises from the end of the earth. And in Revelation to come, we already know. Look at 5:9, let's read that. And they sang a new song with these words. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. So we don't know how that melody is going to go, but we're going to be up there singing, You are worthy, O Lord. You know, in the 60s, we sang that song, Thou art worthy. And that was a great song back then, but you know, however it feels, you know, we're going to sing something brand new, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Revelation 14:3 talks about the 144,000 who are select and up there. Let's read that. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beasts and the 24 elders. And then finally, I come back to Psalm 43, where it says, He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Here's the only verse that kind of gives a clue or suggests why sing a new song. It says, put a new song, because David starts the psalm saying, I'm waiting patiently for the Lord. I'm waited and I waited and he heard my cry, finally. He heard my cry. He pulled me up and out of the mire and he's given me a new song to sing. And it's going to be a hymn of praise to the God. And here's the thing, many are going to see this. Many are going to see my life. Many are going to hear this song, and they're going to be amazed, and they're going to put their trust in the Lord because of what the Lord has done for me. Isn't that great? I just love that. Why sing new songs to the Lord? Flat out, all through the scripture, sing a new song to the Lord. God commands it so often. There must be something to this, huh? Second reason I thought of was that God doesn't want us to get into ruts. Does that make sense? God doesn't want us just to be in the same routine over and over and over. And I really fight with this because even in our newness, you know, if we consider Two Rivers Church, you know, kind of a new model, we can really get into our ruts as well. And it's something I've really been thinking about. Creative God, though, does not want us to get in ruts when we worship him. God seemed to be, you know what? God never ever once in Scripture said, sing to the Lord an old song. He didn't. You want to know why? Because it's human nature for us to just be comfortable. We want to do our style, the one we like the most. We want to hear our songs. We want to sing our songs the way we like it. God doesn't have to tell us to do that. He seems to have to tell us to do something new and to push ourselves maybe out of our habits, out of our traditions, out of our ruts. Now, the Lord never changes. He's the same always, right? There's nothing new about God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if music was to remain the same, always, you know, yesterday, today, forever, we'd be singing in Hebrew, ancient Hebrew. We'd be using one of those ram horns. That'd be our worship, one of those 10-string lyres, whatever that is. That would be our harp. Yeah, that would be our music today, if that never changed. That's not what God's saying. He's saying, I'm the same, but I want music and I want worship to be way bigger, way bigger than the same old thing. I mean, guys, think about all the different cultures in our world. Think about the different languages. Think about the different styles that are all around us. Can God reach all those people? Does he hear their worship? Of course, right? I mean, all the different sounds, all the different languages, all the way from the tribal peoples in the Amazon who worship the Lord to those in the cathedrals in St. Paul's in London. If God can reach all those people by speaking to their hearts, what's one of the best ways to speak to your heart, that speaks to our heart? It's through music, right? Through the music we enjoy listening to. Sometimes I feel like our worship music all sounds the same. We struggle with this as a worship team. Or sometimes it feels like even the cadence and the feel, it's just like all the same thing. And I'm always looking and wondering, is there something creative? Like the song we sang today is a really strange, interesting song on how the he is jealous of me. Aren't those the weirdest words ever? But if you really study them, they're amazing words. It's hard to sing, but it's like, wow, how he loves us. And, you know, for David Crowder to do some of these things and push us out of our comfort zone. Crowder's one of those guys. If you don't know who he is, he's crazy, man. And he just pushes us into being more creative. I love that. And I want to keep thinking about that. So next Sunday, we're only going to use one instrument in church, the banjo. Y'all okay with that? Let's just try something different. Yeehaw. God does not want us to be in a rut spiritually. That's the point. And maybe that's why he commands us to sing new songs to the Lord. He doesn't want us to do the same thing over and over and over and over. He hates that. What did Jesus say about prayer in Matthew 6? I hate that repetitive stuff. Just saying the same thing over and over. And I don't think it's because of what they're saying. It's more because after a while, when you just do the same things over and over, what happens to your brain? Goes into neutral, right? You just don't engage. You got to get engaged and got to stay in gear, all right? That's number two. Number three reason I thought of why sing new songs to the Lord is because if we don't, our church is going to get really old. Man, again, I'm a senior citizen at Fred Meyer once a month. I'm 55. So as a fellow senior citizen, I love our seniors. And we'll talk more about you guys later in a little bit. But if our church gets too geriatric, young people aren't going to stay. And I think we're even dealing with that right now a little bit. And it's something I really want us to be praying about and looking at as a leadership and getting input from you. If we don't change not just our music, but in other ways, that we've got to get our young people feeling like they own this and that we're learning from them as well. And I do want that balance. We'll talk more about that. But let's just be honest. Music styles and types of songs and things like that, that's one of the things that really attracts young people, just like it did you when you were young. If I'm looking at a boomer or a buster or a builder, all right? The young people of our culture, of our society right here in Oak Grove and this whole Clackamas, the young people, I look at them as a mission field. We're losing the adults as well, but the young people in droves just have no interest in the church. They have no interest in Jesus. And we got to figure out why that is and what's going on. They're a mission field that we need to take seriously. It's one reason I'm glad Luke and Amber are here and others. We got to build this up. We got to build this team up and get our young people more involved. All right? So, yeah, let's see. Where is it? It was really interesting yesterday. We were at Andy's mom. We had a memorial service for Andy's mom, and it was a beautiful time. Thank you for everybody that took part in that. It was wonderful. I think I speak for Andy and Stuart on that, saying thank you. It was so interesting that we chose as songs to sing three ancient hymns, oldie moldies. And you know what? It was great, and it was appropriate. It was absolutely correct thing to do. Those were Jan's favorite songs, and it was very fitting to do that, and it was wonderful. Jeff, Rachel helped out, and to sing those old songs and those words is like, wow, I haven't sung this in years. This is great, and these are powerful things. It was really interesting, but then I started, as we were singing The Old Rugged Cross, you know, that like one of those classics, my mind went to some of the people in the audience, and there were a few young people there. And I was just wondering what they were thinking or how they were feeling. I'm sure they're going, oh, that's nice. This is a nice song that Grandma liked, you know. But I don't think it really grabbed them as I was, as I was just thinking about it, as I was looking at them, I was wondering. And again, it wasn't that we were supposed to have a rock song or anything like that happen at that service, but it just made me think, like, sometimes they look at the church and they think of religion and Christianity as this was good for my grandma. This was good for mom or dad, but man, not for me. And we've got to find ways in our services, in our worship times, and in our life to get young people more involved. So I don't want our church to get older by median age. We got to keep our young people in. I love the balance that we have now, and we need to improve on that. Fourth reason why I sing new songs is because new believers just don't always connect with emotionally. They don't connect emotionally with the old songs. Look at, I'd probably embarrass some of you to pick you out, those of you who did not grow up in church. But I'm looking at some, and I know, they'll tell me, says, we can do some hymns, but, they're just old hymns. They don't do anything to me. Whereas some of us, you hear the Old Rugged Cross or In the Garden or something, it's like, oh, it just speaks to your heart. But new believers who've never, ever been in churches, these are foreign songs to them. And it's like we're taking songs from the 40s and trying to teach them, and it just doesn't connect to their heart language. Doesn't connect to their soul. It's not good or not right or wrong. It's just reality for new believers. Now, if I was honest with you, my preferred worship style, I've got lots of the styles I like, but if I could do one type of music every Sunday, you know what it'd be? Rap. That's a good idea. I never thought of that. Yeah. It's about as opposite as that as you can imagine for me. I like the old-timey country southern gospel. I like the harmonies. I like the Unclouded Day. And what's the song that you and Dave and Dallas and what's that one you guys do? Jesus is coming soon, morning or night. Oh, I love that stuff. And I would do that every Sunday if I could. And I'd have a church of one because my wife wouldn't even attend. I try to go to some of these concerts when some of these groups come in, like, the Gaither Vocal Band or, some of these groups that probably you don't even know who they are. And I can't get anybody to even go to the concert with me. I have to go by myself, and it's okay. All right. But if I was honest with you, that's my style. That's my taste. But I can be a missionary, and I can think beyond myself and saying we can sing new songs, and we can worship the Lord in lots of ways to reach the most people we can. And so if I think correctly and in balance, I think it would please God and works and helps join people. So that's important to me. We've got to acknowledge the people outside our church are listening to Coldplay and Maroon 5 and Taylor Swift. And fortunately, some are listening to Blake Shelton and Adele. Fortunately, there's a few like that are singing songs that we could maybe relate to, some of us older folks. But I do too. I like some of them a lot. But my main point again is if we are missionaries to our culture, we communicate the gospel the best way we can so that they can hear it, so they can understand it, and they can receive it. Music style plays a big part in that. All right. The most important thing about music styles and songs, new songs, let me just make this real quick point. If it's not biblical and if it's not true, then it's a waste of time. The words must be biblical. The words must be correct. And that's super important. Are they teaching us about God and about Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Are they true biblically? Do they draw us into the Lord's presence? Those are the most important questions to ask. Not whether, what kind of beat is that? Or how loud does the drum have to be? My goodness. All right? Those are the important questions. All right, fifth. We cannot ignore the builder's generation. We don't have a lot of builders here. Mostly have boomers. I'm the last of the boomer generation. My years. So, boomers, yeah. Late 60s, yeah. Hippies, All right, good. And then builders are the great generation who went through World War II and went through the Depression, and like my mom and dad. It's that builder generation, and some of you older folks, we need to, we can't ignore you. And we exactly. And we can't just say tough luck, tough beans to all of you. So we gotta find that balance somewhere. But praise God, I mean, even our builder generation, they're the ones that brought rock and roll to us. You know, they're the Elvis generation and the Little Richard and all those guys. So, but you guys, builders, people that are over 60, maybe over 70, have had to endure so much change in culture like never before. Things have changed so radically for you. And I think about that. Even in the church, so much has changed in the last few years. And I just want to thank you for all that you are and all that you do. I just want to say that. I want to honor you, and we value that you're a part of our church. It's important. I especially want to thank you for understanding why we don't sing a lot of the hymns and why we don't kind of go back into the old way. I appreciate that you understand our mission, and we'll do what we can to reach you and to support you, but we got to stay on mission as well. So I've shared five reasons so far why I sing new songs. The Bible commands it. God wants to kick us out of our ruts. He realizes that if we don't sing new songs, our church is going to get older. New believers don't really engage or connect with the old songs and hymns. We can't ignore the builder generation. It's important. But I thought of one more reason why God might want us to sing new songs to him. Because God always wants us to go deeper. He always wants us to go greater. God always wants us to go more majestic. He always wants us to be more intimate with him. And new songs help us take that step that we need to take. Raise your hand if you feel like you're an artist or a musician type. Okay, good. Yeah, a bunch of you. I think you'll especially understand this final thought. I think this might make sense to the artists especially. Like, there's got to be something I can paint that's better than what I've done before. There's got to be something that's great, that has more meaning. There's got to be a poem I can write that just says more than I've ever said before, right? There's got to be a song that can be sung that takes me deeper. And artists, that's how artists are. We're like that. I hate any song that I've ever written. I just can't stand them because I just don't feel like they're good enough and they're strong enough. And that's my problem more than anybody else's. But I really think we should all have this kind of desire that when we consider our relationship with the Lord, we want to take it deeper. We want to go farther, build it up higher, make it greater. How many of you, when you pray, especially when you pray out loud, how many of you feel like the words you say are just never quite good and are right? Like they don't really, I'm not saying what I feel, and I God, you deserve better than this. Do you feel that way when you pray? And that's important because I think in the same way with prayer, we should try to challenge ourselves to learn how to pray in that deeper way. And to go more intimate. And there's so many ways in Scripture that tell you how to do that. I want to serve people in a deeper way. I want to love on my community in a more substantial way. That's more real and it has more fruit. I want to read Scripture with new eyes that are opened by the Holy Spirit to go deeper into God's truths. I want to sing a greater song to the Lord. I want to sing an anthem that's never been sung before, that will just draw us, take us into the Lord's presence like never before. A song that just opens me up like surgery and just exposes my soul to the Lord. I want to sing a song like that. How many of you are content to stay where you're at spiritually? Please don't raise your hand. Okay, good. Just make... Are you happy where you're at?
No.
But how many of us are willing to do what we need to do to go to that deeper level, to get ourselves out of the rut, to sing that greater song, to pray that new prayer. I hope you are. You know, the longer that Bonnie and I are married, 30 years going on, 30 years now, that Bonnie and I have been married, we love each other deeply. But we find, I don't know if anybody else, 30 years of marriage and over, we find that we kind of start getting used to each other and we take advantage of each other and we sometimes tend to talk less with each other. And it's not like we spend time together, but we've said everything that needs to be said. There's just nothing more to say. And couples that have been at this a long time, you find things, it can get stale. It can get a little musty. And so that's why we do marriage classes, and that's why we challenge each other, say, keep it fresh, keep it vibrant. There's things you can do to keep it exciting, and that's what Bonnie and I need. We don't want our relationship to get stale or presumptive. And I think maybe that's why God wants us to sing new songs to him. Maybe it isn't so much about music style. Maybe it's more about the lyrics that express your love to the Lord in ways that you've never expressed it before. Last Sunday, we sang the song Oceans. EB led it. That's an interesting song. I love that song, and I hate that song. So let me explain. It's one of the most popular songs in worship in the American church today. It won the Dove Award for the best song of the year 2 years ago, Oceans. And I will call upon your name. Da-da-da-da-da, we're oceans. That song, right? Honestly, it's not my favorite song. It's okay. I love the lyrics. The melody kind of drives me crazy a little bit. But it's okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think. It's what's important is, are we singing God's song? Are we singing new songs to the Lord? It's worth singing because of the words. Because I don't know if there's that bridge part where it just does this little special section. We call it the bridge. And in that section it says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. Let me walk, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And hear those words. You hear those words? Think of Jesus walking on the water. Think of the disciples in the boat. Think of Peter wanting to get out, and he actually took a few steps. And think of him looking at Jesus for that while. And can you hear that song again? Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Man, those are great words. And those words, they take me deeper than a lot of songs have ever, you know, taken me. They make me think of things. They make me think of the Lord in a different way. It's important. It's important. I've tried this morning to help you understand a little bit of why we do what we do here at Two Rivers. It's not like we invented the internet or anything here. We're not doing anything that special. I know we're not. But the way that we do our corporate worship, our community time, it's very purposeful. It's intentional. And I just want you to hear that. And I want you to understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to sing a new song to the Lord. We don't want our amazing times on Sunday morning here to get stale or musty or boring. But new songs aren't just about guitars and drums and louder music. That's not just what it's about. It's about these, it's not about volume. God just wants it to be new and deeper and more intimate. We want our community praise to be fresh and vibrant. We want our worship to help every single one of you connect with your Savior. We want to help you go deeper in your relationship with him. We want to help you sing a greater song. That's what we want to help you do. And I think that's what Paul Balazs meant when he wrote this song that we want to close with. It's called A Greater Song. I'm going to ask worship team if they'd just come up and help me with this a little bit. I think when Paul wrote this song, he was really frustrated as a songwriter. He's written a lot of great songs. You've sung a lot of his songs. But Paul Balazs was frustrated, and I think he said, I've got to be able to do something deeper. I've got to do something more. And he decided to actually put words to it. And I'm going to ask if you would stand with us. And you'll recognize this song, I think, after a while, if you've been with us ever before. Here's how it goes. Who could imagine a melody true enough to tell of your mercy? Who could imagine a harmony sweet enough to tell of your love? I see the heavens proclaiming you day after day, and I know in my heart that there must be a way to sing a greater song. A greater song to you on the earth, to sing a greater song. A greater song to you on the earth. Who could imagine a symphony? Think about these words, they're so fun. Grand enough to tell of your glory. Our highest praise, just a feeble breath. It's a whisper of your thunderous worth. But I see the heavens proclaiming day after day, and I know in my heart that there must be a way. Would you shout it out with me? Sing a greater song. A greater song to you on the earth, to sing a greater song. Greatest song to you on the earth. Hallelujah, we want to lift you higher. Hallelujah, we want to lift you higher. Claiming you day after day, and I know in my heart there must be a way to sing a greater song, a greater song to you on the earth, to sing a greater song. A greater song to you, a greater song, to sing a greater song. A greater song to you on the earth. You can actually put your own words of worship as we're doing this. Be creative and just praise the Lord with your heart. Greater song to you on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to lift you higher. Hallelujah. We want to lift you higher. Hallelujah. We want to lift you high. Lord, you are Lord most high. Hallelujah. voices.
Hallelujah. We want to lift you higher. Hallelujah. We want to lift you higher.
Yes, Lord, we do. That is our prayer. Friends, would you just engage in this question? Why sing new songs to the Lord? What does that mean to you? Where does God want to take you? Make it personal. And I value any feedback as well from this. I was pretty direct in some of my thoughts here, and I'm not saying those thoughts were definitely scripture. A lot of them were, though. But I'm really open to feedback, and I want to make sure that we're not going to ever suffer the worship wars. I want us to be engaged fully in what God wants to do. So I appreciate and love you all so much. Thank you for being such a great congregation. Let's lift God higher. Let's lift him up. Let's make these worship times more special. We're so loosey-goosey around here. Sometimes we forget what we're doing. We miss out on something great. Let's get ready for what God wants to do. Hope to see a lot of you back at 4 o'clock up at Oregon City at the, is it the, which church is that again? It's the Lutheran church, so we can sing Martin Luther songs up there. Awesome. God bless you guys. See ya.